I've been asked to talk to you about how to make disciples. And my first response was, as the slide will demonstrate, in 25 minutes, you're kidding, right? It took Jesus 3 years to prepare his guys to continue his work when he left, and probably 3 years to teach them how to continue as Father sent me, so I've sent you. But it's not, I'm not going to yak on for 3 years, okay? It is doable. Here we go. Some basic principles. Now, my heritage is I was led to Christ through a work called the Navigators back at Melbourne University. And this making disciples was their foundation stone, if you like. And so here's a slide that sort of gives a big picture of what I'm going to be talking about today. It's called the three E's. E1, evangelism. And through it, by the grace of God, people are converted into the kingdom of God. They're born again. Well, that's great. And Shiloh's already gone. You know, there you are in the back. A baby is born. Man, that's fantastic, isn't it? The labour is over. Or the labour has just begun. Yeah, as we call it, it's a life sentence, okay? Being a parent. Because having a baby in Christ is one thing. Can we go back to that previous slide, Liz? Sorry. From there, well, they need to be established in their walk with God to become a disciple. Now, Keith has talked about discipleship for the last several weeks, aspects of what it takes to be a disciple. And the Navigators summarise that by this diagram called the wheel. More about that later. But to be established, I mean, it's nice that they're cute and dependent, but eventually we want our children to be able to walk, run, stand on their own 2 feet, and approach adult life. And then so for them to be established in their faith is great. And then we want to, the third E, equip, to equip them to become labourers. Jesus said the harvest is plentiful, but the labourers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest to send forth labourers into his harvest. The kingdom of God still needs labourers who will then continue the work, send them into all the world to keep the cycle going. The church is always one generation away from extinction. I like the slide we have for discipleship when we have the church's visions. It's, you know, the guys running and they're passing on the baton. It's passing on the baton to the next generation because Keith won't be here forever and neither will I. Who'll be doing God's work in 20 years' time? The baton of responsibility and knowledge needs to be passed on to the next generation. And so on to continue that cycle. Okay, let's talk about these three in a little bit more detail. Yes, the three E's. E1, evangelism, from non-believer to convert. We saw E2, establishing, taking a convert to the point of being a disciple. A follower of Jesus Christ, a learner, someone who's growing in Christ-likeness. But then the third E, equipping, is to take it from disciple to labourer. Let's talk briefly about those, and I'll be focusing on establishing, because that's the process of turning a believer into a disciple. So evangelism, yes. And as I just said, we rejoice at the birth or rebirth of a new convert, new believer. But as any parent knows, that's just the beginning of a lifelong relationship and a labour of love. I'll call it a labour of love. There has, by the grace of God and the power of God, been an act of repentance on the part of the believer and faith. Repentance, as Keith talked about a few weeks back, well, Lord, now it's not my will, but thy will be done. So it's great that we rejoice in the baby, and I always give Gianna a little kiss and a hug when I greet her. And it's wonderful. I rejoice with you guys and your baby. And I'll do it with Shiloh soon. But then I recognize that for the parents, that's just the beginning. Where did the word establishing come from? Colossians 2, 6 and 7. As therefore, now I've got it in the RSV, but I'll read this to you. And all that talk about the versions, guys. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened, the RSV says, established in the faith, just as you were taught, overflowing with thanksgiving, thankfulness. Paul was writing, every time he writes the letters, he's saying, and I rejoice that you're in the kingdom, and now I'm praying for your growth, that you become able to stand on your own 2 feet. And so that's establishing the second E. And that's the focus of our talk today. How do you establish someone in their walk with God? The third E, equipping. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. I'm without my glasses today. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Now, the new NIV says to prepare God's people for works of service. I prefer to equip the saints for the work of ministry. We like to think that the ministry belongs to the full-timers, the teachers, the pastors, the prophets, the especially gifted ones. No, they are there to equip us to labour. The responsibility for the ministry is not Keith's, is not the elders, it's yours, everybody. We all have to grow in our capacity and ability and heart to serve God and to serve his people. So evangelise, establish, equip. Let's go back to establishing, and I'll draw on the comparison of a brand new baby. Yes, it's a physical baby, that the needs are obvious. They need to eat. They need to stay healthy, keep on breathing. They need love and shelter and nurturing. And they need exercise. And so too, spiritually, the same thing applies. God's word. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. 1 Peter 1:23. As if the milk. He's given us the milk as our food to bring us to maturity. Sorry, the verses skip me. And then breathing, I mean, us talking to our God, talking, communicating with him should be as natural as breathing. I mean, we're trying to get you to come to 5 o'clock tonight. That shouldn't be, oh no, here we go. That's, yeah, man, to get alongside with others and talk to our God and intercede on the behalf of others, that should be something we all would view as, that'd be a good thing to do. And then, of course, the love and shelter, that's what fellowship is to provide. Now, I'm going to be talking about all this theory today, but the truth is it's got to be done within the context of community, the context of a caring, loving family. Now, by the grace of God, Paul and Sharon and Mia and I have the privilege of meeting with Mehran and Sogol and new converts. But, you know, it can't just be us that they're connected to. It's got to be the family they're connected to. And so aspects of fellowship. And then, of course, when it comes to exercise, well, I do that as I serve God by whatever gifts he's given us to do, or as I share my faith with others as I have opportunity to do. There are many parallels there. But that's talking about a baby. But sooner or later, parents, you know, there'll be other things on the syllabus, won't there? Wash your hands, Junior. Brush your teeth before you go to bed. Thank you. Say thank you, Daddy. Say sorry, Mummy. All these things that we're going to teach them to do. Share your toys with your little brother. Come on. Don't be selfish. How to pack up your toys. Boy, there was a big one. I remember that a couple of days ago. Don't play with the PowerPoints. No. I mean, you've got to train your child to survive in this world. They're not born with all that instinctively built in. They need to be taught that. So much more to learn. Stranger danger, you know, in a healthy, right sense of that. Oh, and above all, potty training. There's the big one. That's the big one. Okay, when you're over that as parents, oh boy, great. All I'm saying is it's the parent's responsibility to train the child towards growing towards independence and adult life. That's the natural process. That's true physically and it's true spiritually. Just because someone has entered the kingdom of God, that's not the end of the process. That's the end of stage one, but now comes the beginning to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To grow in their service for him. Yeah? Great. So, the next slide. Here's what the navigators had drummed into me, and I can give you several sermons on each of those topics. Okay, that's how, well, inverted commas, trained I've been. But I don't want to reduce it to that. But, no, I've talked about this diagram before. here's a picture of how a disciple lives. Christ is at the centre, the hub. Yes, therefore, he provides the power in my life and he steers me, the direction in my life. And that's what a disciple does. A disciple learns and then be and do. The hub, obedience to Christ. It's one thing to say, yeah, Lord, Lord, with my lips, but I don't do what he tells me. And that's the mark of a disciple. Now, Jesus said 1 John 2:6. Well, he didn't say it. John wrote it. He who says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Now, I claim to be a follower of Jesus. Well, there should be a growing fragrance that there's a Christ-likeness about this guy. This teacher actually cares. None of the others do. There should be that come through in all aspects of your life. And then the two vertical spokes, my relationship with God. Yes, I listen to God, the Word. And that's why, you know, four times a week, well, that's great, you know, but, you know, the ideal should be seven times a week. Daily, I sit and listen and learn from God. And as a response to that, I talk to God, prayer. But, you know, there are some basic rules about prayer, inverted commas, principles, promises that a Christian needs to be educated in so that they can start to pray, not the way John the Jedi says, talking to the Force, but no, according to what Jesus says about prayer. There's a lot to learn to pray effectively. The Word of God. I mean, that is the sword of the Spirit. Well, you give me a sword and I'll go like that, maybe. Or are we skilled with it? It takes time. Paul wrote to Timothy, you know, to get a good grasp of the Word, to be able to teach others also. The horizontal spokes talk about my relationship with others, either in fellowship with God's family or witnessing to those who are not yet in God's family. And these are all aspects of a healthy, balanced Christian life. And it's one thing to know what to do. Well, first of all, to know, you need to be taught, as Kit said a while back. To be taught these things, and then to be encouraged to begin to put them into practice. A little slogan we had about discipling someone. Tell them why. Show them how. Get them started. Keep them going. Okay? Tell them why, convictions. Show them how, demonstrate it. My spiritual dad must have had about 30 quiet times with me over my first 3 years as a believer. Very significant, fantastic times. Show them how, get them started, keep them going. And you see, that means a little bit of accountability and encouragement. You know, have you made that phone call yet, Nath? You know? And that caring enough to ask the tough questions. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff behind each of those aspects that, you know, the navigators have, you know, capsulized, if you like, packaged in terms of teaching modules. And you see, I'm not a big believer in cookie crunching. You know, every Christian should look like this, so, you know, mass produce people the same. We're all at different places. God wants us all to be a perfect circle like Jesus. Well, I'm a square and you're a triangle. We all have different edges that need to be cut off to become circles. A mentor doesn't say, you're a triangle, I'm a square. I want you to be a square too. Be like me. We're both aspiring to be like Jesus. Okay. Well, I've how to make a disciple, establish another in their faith. I like the following. Just as in physical parenting, the following three ingredients, and they rhyme: care, prayer, and share. These are the three basic ingredients. I picked this up from a study of 1 Thessalonians a number of years ago. Care. I mean, there's got to be heart. There's got to be love. I do it not because it's my job. If I do the right things for the wrong reasons, I'll soon be doing the wrong things. Then it's prayer. Why prayer? Because it's an act of God to change another person's life, not mine. And independence. All the epistles, Paul says, therefore I'm praying for you, that you grow. And it's always, I'm praying for you, I'm praying for you, I'm praying for you. And then to share. Paul shared his life, as we'll see a few references shortly from 1 Thessalonians, and he shared the word of God, because that's the transforming power. That's what educates us to get our conscience in line with God's principles. And therefore we can shoot straight, you know, the sights are lined up. But to remain ignorant of the word of God means to remain a child. So I've got some references here from 1 Thessalonians. Care leads to share. My goodness, I'm not going to be able to read that at all. I'm specsless. I might be able to do this way. Here we go. This is the Apostle Paul writing to them. In 1 Thessalonians and in Galatians, look for it. He says, as you know, as you know, as you know. Remember, guys, when I was with you, how I lived. He's trying to stir up them to, yeah, remember. Here we go. But as we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our own lives as well, because you become so dear to us. Surely you remember, brothers, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone, but we preached the gospel of God to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. Like a mother, we cared for you. Like a mother nursing her child. That's how Paul, his heartbeat for this church, these young believers. And as a father, he went the hard yards and he challenged them. And therefore he shared. He shared not only the word of God, but our own selves, everything we have. I mean, I say to people, even my students, when we get beyond accounting, you can ask me anything you want and I will share honestly with you what the answer is. And we start talking about, you know, life issues, not just academic stuff. And so then I'll just share what I really think. No pretense, no cover up. But of course, if I share from the word of God, it's no longer just Costa's opinion, it's what God says. Care, the next slide, leads to prayer and share. Prayer and share. Here we go. 1 Thessalonians 3:9-10. How can we thank God enough for you in the return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Paul thinks of the Thessalonians, he goes, yes. And mind you, he thought of the Galatians and he says, my little children with whom I am again in travail until Christ is formed in you. See, they start to go off the track and believe some false teaching. And Paul was agonizing, was it faith going to stand the test against this false teaching that's coming their way? But with these guys, nothing but delight. Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Paul was bursting to get back. The only reason he left was because of the persecution I chased out. But I'll be back. Paul viewed them as his own children. Now, the analogy often given in the scriptures is shepherd for the flock. More about that in a while. Okay, so let's go back to this slide. We're running a little late. So there's that big picture, if you like. Where are you? Maybe you're not yet in the kingdom. And you say, well, what is this? You Christians, you're different. I like it, but I don't quite get it. I know a bit from the past. I know some of the cliches, but it hasn't made sense yet. If you want to know more, talk to me, talk to Keith, talk to anyone. Say, okay, I give you 3 weeks, 3 months. What is it that you're saying is such a great deal? Please explain Jesus to me. Or maybe you're a believer, but you're not yet consistently following and learning from the Lord. You know, a bit on again, off again, and sort of up and down, and, you know, disciplines, you know. But maybe you're a bit frustrated. I remember with Dave Marshall, I sort of thought, Dave, you know, there's a guy called Bob in the ministry, Bob Bolton. And I said, Bob, I want to meet with you just for a month and then just for a month. Is that okay? Because I wanted someone to work me a bit harder for a while, but then I just want to go back to Dave's pace. Okay? But maybe you want a Bob or a Dave. So, well, someone who'll give me some spiritual encouragement and accountability to ask me, how's it going? In quiet times. Okay. Or maybe you're frustrated in not knowing how to serve God and His people more effectively. Yes, I'm walking with the Lord, but you know, the job seems to take up most of my time and energy, and I come to church, but I don't know where to plug in to make a contribution. Well, here's a contribution I'd like to make, but I'd like to be, you know, Keith is leading sessions to some young people in the church who have had opportunities speaking up front, who said, who want to grow in more effectively communicating, preaching. And so Keith is equipping them to preach. That's a really good deal. But they raise their hands for that. You get as close to Jesus as you want. You will serve the Lord as much as you want. The biggest constraint here is not the availability of resources, but what do you want? You know, are we comfortable with where we're at and this is all I want? So don't ask for more. Dang. Well, because, you know, Keith is not only a labourer, he's one who equips others to labour. Three to go. The with him principle. Mark 3:14 is not the reference that's up there. That's where Peter went up, Jesus went up all night and prayed and came down and said, okay, here are my 12, you and you. And you're the ones who I appoint to be my apostles, and they'll be with him, and then he would send them out. The with him principle. That's how you become a disciple. So you could say, well, gee, Costa, how do I witness more effectively? Well, here's a book, enjoy. Yeah? It's all in there. Well, that's not going to work. My spiritual dad took me out with him, witnessing on the campus. At first I was a spectator. And then I shared my testimony. And then I shared my testimony and the brief. And then I did it all. And he was giving me feedback all the time. And my fear very quickly evaporated. And I was taking others out witnessing. And God, you know, Joe Calero, Andrew Phillips, I can list names of people who come to Christ because I went and did cold turkey evangelism. Okay? Actually, most of them are my students, come to think of it. We talked after class. But more about that some other time. Here are two references Paul gave on this. And the things you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, Timothy, entrust to reliable men who will be qualified to teach others. The whole idea of Paul says, Timothy, I've shared it with you. Now, Timothy, you share it with others so that they can share it with others in return. The idea of generations. 2 Timothy 2:2. And that's why I like that baton picture of the athletes passing on the relay baton. Or later on, the same book, 2 Timothy 3:10. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings, what kind of things happened to me in Antioch, etc. Timothy was there watching Paul bleed and get up off the road after being stoned. And Timothy had a first-hand insight into what it would cost to follow Jesus and to serve the way Paul did. Remember Harvey, Soderholm. I'll give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. That's what it will cost. You want to serve God? Paul goes on to say here, you'll be persecuted if you desire to live godly in Christ Jesus. It will cost you to mentor somebody else. It will cost you your time. It will cost you your privacy and your rights to leisure on a weekend. It will cost you the agony of seeing this young guy you're helping start to go off the rails. And you can't make him make right choices. And so you agonize in prayer. That's what it will cost you. But also, maybe what's holding you back is, well, I'm not sure I quite know what to do. Well, I tell you now, I'm telling you now, it is not rocket science. And if you really wanted to help others in it, if you wanted to be helped, let us know. If you want to say, well, yes, I'm at the stage where I want to be more effective in how I serve others, how do I help others, then, you know, talk to Keith, talk to me. We can easily get a simple program going to better equip you to accept the responsibility for helping someone else to grow spiritually. And you don't have to have all the answers, thank God. Feed my lambs. Remember after the resurrection, Peter on the beach, after three times denying Jesus, Peter, do you love me? Yeah, Lord, I love you. Well, three times Jesus said, feed my lambs, tend the flock, look after my sheep. If you, older Christians, love the Lord, I reckon he's commissioning you. Well, help others to grow. Feed my lambs. Even in the Old Testament, then I'll give you shepherds after my own heart, says God, who will lead you with knowledge and understanding. Many such promises like that God gives in the Old Testament, and many such in the New Testament as well. Now, why would you want to make disciples? I mean, it sounds like it's going to cost me my time, maybe my money. I have two reasons. The Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. And lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Bob Bolton said to me, Costa, no go, no lo. Okay? Go make disciples, lo, I'm with you always. You know? He's there preparing me, equipping me, empowering me for the job at hand. Now, I'm not totally that legalistic on that. Of course, can't say if you're not making disciples, Jesus isn't with you. That's stupid talk. But most importantly, why make disciples? Well, Paul says it again himself at the end of that chapter in 1 Thess 2. I like it. Paul started that chapter by saying, I didn't want your money. No, we didn't come to you at all. There are others who had coming around trying to spin a buck or two by being spiritual teachers. But then he turns it on his head at the end of the chapter. He says, what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. I won't mention names, but I can point to people who are today serving God that I had the privilege of leading to Christ and helping them to grow, and now I'm seeing them pastor a church. And I go, yes. And the treasure that I've stored up in heaven will be when I see the guys and girls that I've had an influence in their lives, bring them into the kingdom, watching them grow, and the fruit of their lives, the next generations. And that will be that my cup overflows. That's what glory will be for me. Now, as my spiritual dad said, yes, everyone's cup will overflow. What will be different is the size of the cup, you know. And the more I've served, the more I can look forward to the crown, to the reward. And as Paul said, seeing you guys there, that's reward enough for me. There's no greater buzz spiritually than to see someone become a Christian and to watch them grow. Just as you nurse your granddaughter in your arms and watch her grow into a young lady, you think, wow, that's great. Parenting is a great privilege, whether it's physical or spiritual. Where are you? Do you need some ongoing encouragement spiritually? Then if we have 15 people raise their hands, Keith and I can't do 15 people. We'll need about another 7 or 8 blokes in the middle who say, yes, I'll take on a couple of these young ones and help them. I supposedly started a mentor thing a couple of years ago, but you know, it fizzled. It fizzled, I confess. It's a really hard thing to do because you can't make people do anything. It's got to come from their own hearts. Why don't we just close in prayer? Father, thank you for your amazing plan of raising up a family. And we are part of that family. We are part of that God's people and your spiritual building, the temple. Lord, and you want us all to grow in maturity and to grow then in our effective service for you. Father, I pray you would stir the hearts of each person here, man, woman or child, to say whether they want more training or want more understanding, or whether they say, yes, I want to be involved in actively helping another couple of individuals to grow. Lord, I pray that you would take our church that step further, that we really would be making disciples and then multiplying laborers to not just work here at Edge, but throughout Australia and throughout the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.